tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Hello, welcome to Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I'm the writer and the director of the Thinker Sensitive podcast. This project has been a long time coming. It's been in the works for a while. Chad, the founder of the Thinker Sensitive podcast, the creator, and someone who is a very good friend of mine, handed this podcast over to me and just wanted me to run with it and develop it into the future. And so I feel so grateful and blessed to be able to do this, and it's something that I'm just very excited about. This introductory season is really about setting the table for all future content. We're creating the broader, fuller context for all future episodes. And in that sense, this introductory season is about creating a foundation. And all future episodes and future content will be built upon this foundation. And that's why this introductory season is so important and so significant. In this first episode, we're going to be trying to answer two main questions. Number one, what is philosophy? And number two, why is it important? So I want to start off by sharing a personal story or a couple personal stories. When I was going to college in the Dallas, Texas area, I would come up to Michigan, where I grew up, to work during the summertime. And I would work at Kroger. Kroger is basically the version of King Soopers in the Midwest. And so I would work at Kroger in the summertime in their deli department. And one day, one of the managers at Kroger was kind of teasing me. And he asked me, you know, what is philosophy actually, and why is it important? Or why would you study philosophy? Why would you get a degree in philosophy? At the time, I remember that I wasn't really able to answer the what and the why question. I certainly possessed an intuitive feeling of what philosophy was and why it is so important. But at the time, I couldn't verbalize it. I couldn't put it into words. When I went to seminary, there were two main criticisms that I often heard about philosophy. One is that it was super impractical, and the other is that it was super abstract. Philosophy was often pitted against other degrees and fields of study that were much more practical and much more concrete. And so you had this idea that I often came in contact with or was confronted with as someone who was majoring in philosophy and theology, is that philosophy lacks utility. It lacks usefulness in the real world. It's basically just an abstract mind game. And it doesn't have any concrete application in normal life. And you can contrast that with other fields of study, like maybe engineering. You study something like engineering, you get a degree in it for a good future career as a means of both making money and contributing concretely to society. And so if you have an engineering degree, for example, within that degree program, you're learning how to apply all the things that you've learned in very concrete situations. And so this was often the contrast that was built and that I was confronted with in seminary, right? Philosophy is impractical. It's too abstract. It's not practical and it's not concrete. And so today, when I reflect on our current culture, when I look at our current culture, I see a very similar mindset and attitude. Now, I don't want to overgeneralize here, but but I often see what I would call extreme pragmatism. This idea that money is the reason for all learning, right? The reason, the purpose why I learn something is to make money. A degree is simply a means to getting a job and bringing an income. And so you have this idea that the value of money overrides the value of learning. The value of acquiring money eclipses the value of acquiring knowledge. Now, it's probably true that Plato and Aristotle are rolling in their graves over this contemporary mindset. But I do want to add a qualifier at this point. Let me say this. Money and knowledge can never be sharply pitted against one another. Right? In a lot of ways, you actually need money in order to have the time and in order to have the resources to acquire knowledge and to learn things. So those in our society who seemingly pursue money over knowledge actually understand the important truth that you really do need money to live and survive, right? And I could think of my own situation. I needed a lot of money to earn the degrees that I earned, and I'm still paying a ton of student loan debt to this day because of it. And in terms of Thinker Sensitive, I needed money through private donors in order to have the time and resources to relaunch this podcast. I mean, this podcast is only possible due to the generosity of friends and family. With all of that said, however, philosophy is ultimately not about money, but about knowledge. It's not about pursuing a life of luxury, but a life of learning. It's not about material possessions, but about ideas. It's not about how nice your car is or about how big your house is, but about how beautiful and precious your mind is. So what precisely is philosophy? Well, if you were to break down the etymology of the word, you would have philo, which means love in classical Greek, and you would have sophia, which means wisdom in classical Greek. And so when you put those two concepts together, you have the love of wisdom. This could also be translated the love of truth. The way I would define philosophy is like this. Philosophy is the love of and the sincere search for truth. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to break down philosophy into five major categories. The first category that I have listed here is epistemology. Epistemology is the study of knowledge. You could also say it's the study of how we acquire knowledge and the study of how much knowledge we can acquire. The second category I have here is metaphysics. Metaphysics is the study of reality. Now, at times, this word has been misused in a way or misunderstood, because if you do an etymological breakdown of the term metaphysics, you have the word meta and you have the word physics. Meta meaning above or beyond, and physics meaning the physical. So you have this concept of metaphysics as the study of what is beyond the physical. That's partially true, but the way I would define metaphysics is it's the study of what's really real, the study of what's foundational and basic to all reality. You could say the study of the basic components of all reality. The third category I have here listed is ethics, which you could call the study of what's right and wrong, the study of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, the study of moral value. The fourth category I have listed here is logic. Logic is the study of arguments and the study of sound reasoning. Now, a great example of this would be a syllogism, where you have a conclusion that flows from two preceding propositions. And so the conclusion naturally and logically flows from the propositions. And that would make it a valid argument. Now, just because an argument is valid in logic does not mean that it's true, does not mean that it actually, that the conclusion actually corresponds to reality or has coherence in the world as we know it and experience it. The fifth category I have listed here is aesthetics. Aesthetics, you could say, is the study of beauty or the study of art. And so those are the five categories that I have listed here, though more could be listed, or these could certainly be nuanced much more in an in-depth way. But for right now, I just want to leave it at those five categories, and I think it gives people a basic understanding of what philosophy is and what it deals with. Now, one of the unique things about philosophy is that it's interdisciplinary and all-encompassing. So you can speak of a philosophy of economics, a philosophy of history, a philosophy of science, a philosophy of psychology, and on and on and on. And so philosophy applies to all disciplines, and it really stands over and above all disciplines. All right, so we've talked about the what. What is philosophy? Let's talk about the why now. Why is philosophy important? In my opinion, and of course I'm biased, philosophy is the most basic and foundational field of study. Study, of course, implies thinking. And philosophy teaches us how to think. Philosophy, at least in part, is the thinking about thinking. In this sense, philosophy is fundamental to all human action, because I have to use my mind to act, or at least I should, hopefully. It's fundamental to all human thinking, of course. It's fundamental to all human learning, all human knowledge, and all human communication, because I have to think in order to communicate. In my opinion, in contrast to what many other people think, philosophy is actually the most practical discipline of all. Let me give an example. If I want to buy a car and I want to make a sound decision, I need to use my mind to think through a ton of different details, a ton of different questions. So for instance, do I want to buy a used car or a new car? What make and model do I want? If a used car, what year and how many miles do I want on the car? Do I want to pay cash or do I want to finance it through a dealership? And the list goes on and on and on, right? Any decision that you make in life, as trivial as what do I want to eat tonight, or as important to you as should I move out of state to take this new job offer, any decision that you make in life involves thinking, reasoning, and using your mind. I literally use my so-called impractical and super abstract degrees every minute of every day. I don't know how it gets more practical than this. So how or in what ways does philosophy teach us how to think? Well, it teaches us how to make valid arguments. It teaches us how to reason in a sound manner. It teaches us how to think in a rational manner than in a purely emotional manner, though it's very difficult to separate those two things because as human beings, we're emotional beings. It teaches me how to be more aware of my personal biases and my personal presuppositions. In that sense, it teaches me how to recognize my blind spots, and it allows me to think as objectively as humanly possible while also recognizing my finitude and my fallibility and my intrinsic subjectivity as a human being. So philosophy can teach me how to think reasonably, yet honestly and humbly about politics, or about art, or about religion, or about science or economics. The thing about philosophy is it also teaches me how to think about the big questions of life. It teaches me how to think about the little questions of life and also the big questions of life and the things that matter most. So issues of origins, both cosmic and human, issues of meaning and purpose, issues of morality and ethics, issues of knowledge, issues of truth and reality, issues of values and priority structures, issues of beauty. And so philosophy teaches me how to think about these big issues. But here's the thing. Philosophy doesn't just teach me how to think through ideas, whether small or big. It also teaches me how to communicate those ideas. Philosophy makes us better communicators and conversationalists. It makes us more honest, open, modest, self-aware, and self-critical, guarding us from dogmatism, arrogance, closed-mindedness, and dishonesty. It makes us more objective. It guards me from bias and partisanship and prejudice. It makes us more civil, respectful, and empathetic, guarding us against hostility and contentiousness, name-calling, ad hominems, hatred, villainization, demonization, things that we see in the news every day, things that we see on social media every day that creates this disunity and divisiveness in our society. It makes us more just and fair and charitable. Philosophy guards us from misrepresenting other people's views and mischaracterizing the ideas of others and the arguments of others, right? So it makes us more just and fair and charitable. It drills that into our heads. So in sum, philosophy, at least to me, is basic and fundamental to all human thinking, communicating, and acting. It teaches us how to think about, communicate, and implement ideas, no matter how small or how big. I truly believe that one of the biggest problems in our society today is that many people don't know how to think soundly and communicate soundly. And social media just perpetuates and exacerbates this problem because you have poor thinking and poor communication that's propagated and transmitted on a daily basis for all to see. And what happens is this. You have people who have never learned how to think well and communicate well, voicing their opinions on really important cultural issues. And let me just say that they have every right to voice their opinions. I'm a classical liberal. They have every right to do this and should have the freedom to speak their minds. But in my opinion, what this does is it creates contention and hostility and divisiveness and hatred because you have poor thinking and poor communication of ideas. In my opinion, we have a very unhealthy democracy in the US today. And I truly believe that at the root of it, at the root of the problem, is unsound thinking and unsound communication. Let me give some personal recommendations, because I don't want to just offer a critique without also offering an alternative way and offering some recommendations of how we can maybe work together to fix some of these problems. The first thing I would say is find a basic critical thinking text, just a simple critical thinking book, and read through it. And I think there's a lot of value in that. I definitely believe that a critical thinking class should be a prerequisite in all degree programs. And I think that a discipline-specific philosophy class should be required within almost any degree program. So for example, I think that all science majors should be required to take a philosophy of science class. Another recommendation that I would give is I should think about thinking before thinking about a big idea or an important topic. Right? It's kind of like trying to solve a math equation before ever learning basic arithmetic. Now, let me just say this about myself. I'm horrible at math. So I've actually never learned basic arithmetic. So I definitely shouldn't be solving math equations, right? Another recommendation is I should learn how to communicate soundly and ethically before I communicate an important idea. Again, it's kind of like if I were trying to write a dissertation without ever learning basic grammar. The point here is that we need to figure out the first things first, right? That's the main idea. Now, let me end this conversation, this first episode, with some self-evaluation and self-critique. And I want this to be a part of every episode because I believe that honest self-evaluation and self-critique is so important. So the first thing I'd say is no one on earth thinks perfectly and communicates perfectly. Okay, I don't want this episode to come across in this perfectionistic manner. Like I expect everyone to think perfectly at all times, and I expect everyone to communicate perfectly in all contexts. That's not what I'm saying. I personally have definitely made my fair share of mistakes and have had my fair share of failures. I've had moments in my life where I've lashed out in anger. I've said things that I wish I could take back. I wish I could hit the reverse button, things that haunt me to this day. I've had moments in my life where I've acted like a fool. And ironically, when I've acted like this, it's often been in response to poor thinking and poor communication. But I know that's totally counterproductive and self-defeating. And yet I've done it anyways. Being trained in logic and ethics doesn't make you immune to moments of idiocy, to moments of foolishness. I've been there. I've done that. We're human beings, right? We're fallible. We're finite. We're emotional beings. I'm definitely an emotional being. And anger can get the best of us. Anger has gotten the best of me. You know, I have an Italian temper in some way. I have a Sicilian temper in some way, and it comes out at different times. And I'm not proud of it. The thing is when we fail, shouldn't we get back up again and try again? Because I believe the pursuit of sound thinking and sound communication is a noble one. And it would be beneficial, or it would be a beneficial and worthwhile pursuit for our society as a whole. And of course, for me personally. Thanks for listening to this episode, guys. Our next episode will deal with theology. This episode and all episodes of Thinkersensitive are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.